Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for another time in your presence. We glorify your name, O God, for another privilege to come before your presence to hear from you. We pray that as we go through your word, you will help us, you will bless us, you will speak to us according to your desire for our lives. We ask that your grace will be upon us. Thank you, mighty Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to this moment in God's presence once again in the name of Jesus. We thank God for another day in His presence. At this moment, we are going to be looking at a very simple issue in the Bible, in the scripture, to consider what the Word of God says, and then pray for ourselves. I'm going to read from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. I'll be reading from verse 8. Bible says, Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Hallelujah. The writer, the preacher, spoke about something very, very critical and very important here about God's desire for every one of His children. He said it. He talked about two things needed for a man to live in order for him to accomplish or to find fulfillment. Two things. And that is what we are going to consider. And then we pray. The first matter he raised there, he said, let your garments be always white. Let your garments be always white. The garment of a man, what clothes a man really is his offering. It is what covers his body. So he is normally covered, and thus what people see when he appears is no longer his private, his flesh, his body, and his private parts. They are covered by the garments. What he is wearing covers his private parts. I want to say this to us this morning. This moment in the presence of God, that your garment is so important to you and also to God. Your garment is what at the end of the day people will use to identify you. Even in the Old Testament, in the days of the priests, Aaron and his sons, they had some special garments for service. When they enter into the place of service, they had some garments that were prescribed by God, that was what they're supposed to be wearing before they could enter the place of service. They were not going to enter there naked. They were not going to enter there with any other kind of garment, but that one was the one approved by God. Those ones. So when they enter, God looks at them and their garments. Their garments now was what God was going to look and see, are they wearing the right garment in my sanctuary? So the garment was one of the things that the master, the Lord, was going to use him at that time to see whether they could be accepted. Anyone that enters that sanctuary without the required garment, the prescribed garment, was going to die. So what am I saying? The garment is very, very important, to the point that God was so specific about it in the days of the Israelites, even when they were in the wilderness. So when they were going to enter into the place of service, they knew what to wear before God could accept them there. And let me say that even today, God looking at us. That there is a garment He wants to look down and see us wearing. Now let me say, the garment is what people who look at somebody at a particular point, at a particular time, in an occasion, in a program, in a gathering, can remind some people, this is what that person wore when he came. Have you heard somebody say, did you see that man who put on this and that kind of clothes, so and so? Do you remember that man who was wearing this, who was wearing that, even the shoe was like this? Did you remember? Identity. So the garment of a man gives an identity of the man. May God help us in Jesus' name. When God looks at you, when God hears your voice and looks down to see who is talking, who is doing this thing, the next thing you want to see about you is your garment. As you serve God, as you enter into the presence of God, as you go to the place of the to the congregation of the people of God, as you enter into the place of prayer, let me ask you, with what garment do you enter there? If you go to the scripture, you will see so many places that the Bible talks about garment, garment, garment. And let me say to you, that God has garments, plenty of garments in store, waiting for people to put them on upon their lives, upon them. Let me say to you, till tomorrow, God does not lack garments in His storehouse. Of course, you may come before His presence and naked yourself, but when you have really come, and you have done all you could, and you have been so honest with Him, even if you went there with some level of inadequacy, if you have interacted with Him and you have settled matters with Him, you are not going to come out naked, even though you went there to naked yourself. Let me say to you, child of God, when you naked yourself before God, you cannot come out from His presence naked. Of course, no man can live in the presence of God naked. Sorry, nobody can go with the presence of God in his life naked. There is normally a garment upon such a one. You want to say, God have garments. And let me tell you, he want to clothe you with the garments of righteousness. He want to clothe you with the garments of glory. He want to clothe you. Now, the Bible says, this is where we're going. And I pray the Holy Spirit will help us in Jesus' name. The man of God said, let your garments be white. Do you know, as I said, when you appear in a place, people identify you with your garments. To some extent, they see you physically and identify you based on what you wear. And let me say to you, there is something you are wearing now. There is an appearance that you are showing in the spirit realm now. You may not even know. You may not even be aware because you are in the physical. But when God opens the eyes or opens your eyes, you will see and you will know the garment you are wearing. You are going to ask God and say to him that may I not wear an unworthy garment. May I not wear a garment that you cannot look at. And let me say to us that there are many in the house of God wearing different garments. There are many appearing, even doing certain things for God, but without the prescribed garments. I pray for you this moment that you will not be found among the people of God without the required and prescribed garments. Let me say to you also that, do you know that in our generation today, there are people who are taking garments from the kingdom of darkness to stand and speak to people and minister to people with those garments as if they are still, as if they are wearing God's required garments. I pray for you, child of God. You will not be convicted of being looked at, being honored as if you are wearing the right garment, wearing the spirit realm. The garment you are wearing is polluted garment. If you are wearing garments, if you are wearing any garment, whatever you are doing is just going to be a reflection of that garment. Of course, you will only be transmitting what you are wearing to others. Now, before we move ahead, there is something I want to point out. The writer, the preacher here said, let your garments be what? What did you say? Let your garments be always white. Now it means that there is a prescribed garment that God recommends that every genuine child of God must put on. Every child of God is required to put on a particular kind of garment. And that garment, Bible says, is white garment. And if you read Revelation chapter 19, another verse 7 and verse 8, you will discover that that garment, that white garment, fine garment, is nothing but the righteousness of the saints. So now, upon all the garments that you want to wear, the garment of service and all other things, the garment of all garments, the garment that God requires, that supersedes every other garment, is that inner garment, which is the garment of righteousness. Let me ask you, what garment are you putting on? It's a special question to you. Are you putting on these garments of all garments? There is a garment of purple. There's a purple garment signifying what? The wealth and the royalty and the rest of them. There are different kinds of garments that we put on, that were put on rather in the Old Testament, signifying one thing or the other. But there is this garment that is required by everybody, which is called the garment of righteousness, the white garment. And the Lord and the preacher says here, let your garment be always white. Take note of that. In other words, you must wear a white garment. Listen very well. And the fact that you are wearing a white garment does not guarantee that that white garment can remain white continuously. Take note of this. Say, let your garment be always white. That is to say, let your that your garment is white today is not a guarantee that it will be white tomorrow. It didn't say, let your garment be white. No. Take note of the word always, always, always. In other words, this is your responsibility. You say, let. In other words, when you are putting on white garment, you are responsible for what will happen to that white garment. If it will continue to remain white, it is. Your responsibility. If it will remain white, you are responsible. If it will not remain white, you are responsible. Let your garment be always white. That is, at your salvation, that white garment is placed upon you. The day you gave your life to Christ, that garment is put upon you. The day you said, God, I am here, I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior, the garment is upon you. That's why. But the fact that that garment of righteousness, that white garment, have been laid, have been laid upon you, does not guarantee that it can remain white all the time. You are responsible for keeping your garment white. Let it be white all the time. Now, this is the matter. We are responsible. It therefore means that you must be careful the places you go with this garment. You must be careful and cautious of the people you interact with this garment. You must be careful the things you speak as far as this garment is upon you. The garment is susceptible to being changed from white to something else. It can be stained if you stay in certain places. Now listen carefully. Don't stay where the garment can be stained. Don't get to where the garment can be mutilated. Listen carefully. As far as God is concerned, when he looks down from heaven, the first thing he wants to see is your garment. Has it not been rough handled? That is why, as a child of God, you are not permitted engage in everything. You are not permitted to go to certain places. you are not permitted to relate with certain people anyhow because of what you are wearing. You see, let your garment be always white. Let it remain white. Therefore, we are going to pray and ask God for consciousness over what can make your garment change color. I pray your garment will remain white in the name of Jesus Christ. Why am I stressing so much about garment? The reason is because today, so many people are going about, they are conscious of doing things for God, but with the wrong garment. They don't care what they do, they don't care where they go, they don't care their activities in life, they don't care the kind of people they interact with anyhow, even the things they put on, stains that garment. Child of God, even your physical appearance can affect your spiritual appearance. What you put on your body, what you put on your body can affect what your spirit is putting on. Keep your garment clean. There are some people, they have destroyed their garment because of money. They have been looking for position. They want to become something. They want to become something in life. They want to grow. They want to be rich. They want to prosper. And in the midst of prosperity, they destroy their garment. In the place, in the midst of exaltation, of going high, when they have gotten to a high position, they destroy the garment. May you not go high while your garment has entered deep into the mud. May your height, may your height not be an opportunity for exposing your garment unto spoilage. Let your garment be always white. Now listen, it is not what you do for God that will cause God to accept you. First of all, it is how you live that will cause God to accept you before he accepts what you do. So it is your garment first that you wear in the presence of God, in the process of what you do, that determines the acceptability of what you do. No wonder I said, many will come on that day and say, Master, we did this and we did that. Say, I never knew you. Because there is a particular garment you must put on while walking before that work can be accepted. So I pray for you that you will not be walking. There will not be a time you are walking with a garment that is no longer white, and that work becomes zero work. I can imagine God seeing you at work, busy, sweating, struggling, that the things of the kingdom will grow, the things of the kingdom the kingdom will expand and all of that. And when he looks at you at a particular point, say, oh, look at somebody busy, but yet with an unworthy garment, Zero work. Cancel it. Cancel it. Cancel it. This work, it looks great. This work, it looks powerful. This work, it looks very, very bogus. But yet, with a wrong garment. Oh, listen. Any work done with a wrong garment lacks gain. For the man, when eternity is revealed, you will not walk without gain because of your garments. Your work cannot be recognized until you are recognized. The garment that caused God to recognize a man's work is only the garment of righteousness. You have been giving a lot of offering and all of that. And in the midst of that offering, you still have something against people here and there. Malice up and down. Your garment has been stained with malice. And yet you are giving fat offering. Zero work done. Let your garment be always white. If your garment is not clean, is not white, whatever you are doing, darkness will cover it and heaven will not record it. Now, you say, let your garment be what? Be always white. Keep your garment. That is what a man like Joseph did. That's what that great servant of God, Joseph, did. In the house of Potiphar, he came to a point that because of his integrity, because of how God was increasing what that man Potiphar was having, Potiphar handed over everything to him, just take over, no supervision. He was working without supervision, yet he sustained, he maintained the garment of righteousness. Let me ask you. If you do, I mean, let me tell you, if you do what you are supposed to do, just because you are under supervision, that is not you yet. But if there is something inside you that supervises you, your conscience becomes your supervisor. The Holy Spirit and the fear of God becomes your supervisor. I tell you, your garments can never be stained by impurity. Joseph, even with that elevation in the house of Potiphar, he remained dry. How righteous. He remained what he was. To make things difficult, more difficult for him, the wife of the very man came and was finding a way to sleep with him. It was the one that offered him that. Say, sleep line with me. And Joseph was so focused. You know what? When he maintained that garment of righteousness, what God has put into him found expression. Hallelujah. Let me say this. When your garment is always white, when your righteousness is always intact, it will keep your destiny intact. Listen carefully. When your garment of righteousness is intact, you will never lose contact with your destiny. When you lose your garment, you will lose your contact with destiny. Don't have a big ministry while you have a dirty garment. It's an error. Don't become popular and known and all of that. People are even honoring you. You are so revered. You are so revered because you have gone so far. But in the real sense, although you are being revered, you have swerved off, of course. You are revered, but you have veered, of course. And because your garment is already stained. People are referencing you, but you are no longer God's reference point. How can you become a man that is being reverenced, a revered man, but you are no longer God's reference point? God cannot say, look at my son, look at my servant. Can you see him live like that? He cannot say so. Can God use you as a reference point? Reverence, but no longer God's reference point. Beauty, but no longer in business. How can you be busy but outside God's business? No, it is an error. See, let your garments. Well, let me ask you, child of God. Of the bed of immorality, and you are holding microphone to sing in the choir with the same garment, and immorality is speaking against you, and you are standing to say what? Which man? Where? What are you wearing? You are coming out after you have embezzled government money. You are coming out after you have told a lie. As a student, you have spoken lies to your parents in order to just get some more money to do some other things, which you have not even made them to know. But you are collecting more than necessary just because you want to live according to your desire, to satisfy yourself. You are not very sincere, and yet you will come out and say, God is good. God is good. You are saying God is good while your garment is not good. I pray that God will help you in Jesus' name. Bible says, Joseph kept his garment and his destiny was preserved. Of course, Joseph's destiny was not only preserved. That destiny was activated. It was not only activated, there was increment in the grace he carried. Maybe at another time we'll discuss about Joseph. Maybe at another time we'll talk about that. The grace he carried was increasing from one point to the other because this white garment inside had capacity of improving what God had approved for a man. Righteousness improves what God had approved for a man. God has approved, has destined him to become ruler. to become, and what you put in him began to increase. He deposited in him something that was going to take him to where he was going. But righteousness had to speak for him. Righteousness has to keep it for him. So righteousness is the preserver and maintenance agent for God's deposit in a man's life. Child of God, do you want what God has deposited in your life to remain, to be sustained, and even grow in you? The only thing that you do, and then you continue to live a life of fellowship with him, is to put on the garment of righteousness. Now, the second thing which I'll speak on, not too lengthy about this again anymore, sorry, is about what? Righteousness. The other part of it. He said, and let thy head lack no ointment. And let thy head lack no ointment. What are we talking about? Now, and you know, when we're talking about ointment, we're talking about anointing. Let your head lack no ointment. Very important. That is to say, yes, as you put on the garment, the white garment, what makes your body to shine is the white garment. But what makes your head to shine is the ointment. Now, your head is a symbol of authority. Your head is a symbol of what? Of rulership, of authority. Now, he said, let your head lack no ointment. That's another thing again. You are also responsible for what happens in your head. Now, and you know that the oil is figurative, symbolic of the Holy Spirit. That as you keep your garment pure, let the anointing of God continue to remain upon you. You see, let your head lack no ointment. That is to say, even the ointment, even the oil of the anointing must always be refreshed. I pray for you that you will not glory in past and stay anointing. He will not expire while you are still jumping up and down. He will not expire while people think that you are still on fire. You will not expire in anointing while people are still thinking that you are still inspired by the anointing. Do you see this man? I mean, all the preachers say, let your head lack no ointment. Very important. So, the garment is on your body to keep you in the right state with God. But your head should remain fresh and refreshed and constant with the fresh oil. Now, you see, thou anointest my head with oil. Psalm 23, verse 5. Say, my cup runneth over. Now, this is the issue. In when you are wearing the garment of righteousness, it's very good. But for you to wear that garment and lose the oil on your head is another terrible error. So pursuing only to be righteous and now lose the oil on your head will cause you to be going about dry and empty. I pray for you. You will not be going about with a dry and empty head in the name of Jesus Christ. So there are many going about with dry and empty head. Excuse me. If you are carrying about, going about with an empty head, what are you going to discharge to people if not emptiness? Because deep calling to deep, and the emptiness generates nothing but another emptiness. Even within your life, what you acquire with God is determined by the level of the oil upon your head. You see, you anoint my head with oil and then my cup runneth over. So there is connection between anointing and your cup. What you receive into your cup is determined by what your head carries. The ointment on your head determines the gravity of what your cup carries. You see, my cup runneth over. Your cup of God's provision, your cup of God's blessing, your cup of divine intervention into your issues, into your breakthrough, your cup of breakthrough will always run over if there is oil running over your head, running upon your head. The flow of the oil determines the flow of the cup. What your hand carries is governed by what your head carries. Did you hear me? The cup is what your hand carries. Hallelujah. Your cup is what your hand carries. Listen carefully. You can never cope up. You can never cope up. Listen to this. Even when you are saying, let my cup run over, let my cup run over, let my cup run over. Yes. You will not be able to cope up with what you are talking. You will not be able to meet up if your head is carrying the ointment. Listen. Your hand is permitted to receive based on what your head has received by grace, by the anointing. Praise the Lord. See, let your head lack ointment. Let your head lack no ointment, sorry. Because ointment is what guarantees your productivity. The anointing is what guarantees the establishment and the execution of your authority. You can never be an authority without oil on your head. Let me say to you, how is the oil on your head? And how can you keep the oil on your head if you are disconnected from the source of the oil? Have you not lost your place in communion, in prayer, in fellowship, in fasting? You that used to be vibrant in those days when you entered the place of prayer, before you knew it, a long time has gone and you never knew. In those days you do a small thing, things begin to happen. Now you struggle and struggle and struggle and the whole thing is dry. Why? Something is wrong with your head. There is something drying up. You are only drying because your head is drying up. When your head dries up, you will end up in trial. You will only be doing trial and error because something has dried up. Are you kidding me? So, when something dries up, praise the Lord. So when something dries up in your life, you will only resort to trying and trying. What took you just few minutes to accomplish in those days, take you days and hours, because there is no flow of the oil. You are not flowing because something is no longer falling upon you. I pray for you that what will attract the falling of fresh oil upon you will not leave you in Jesus' name. On a daily basis, child of God, something needs to fall on you for you to flow out. Bible says, let your head lack no ointment. Are you there? Struggling with grace, struggling with anointing, struggling with this and that. I pray for you. God will grant you steadiness in terms of freshness. Now listen, there is difference between great anointing and fresh anointing. It is possible to be anointed highly, greatly, but it's another thing for you to maintain freshness. It is better to have, can I put it, permit me to say, to have little anointing but kept fresh than to have big anointing that is stained. No. You know, when anointing becomes stale, you may be tempted to steal people's methods. Child of God, why have you begun to go for people's methods, just procedure, how they do this, how they do that, and so on and so forth? Why? Have you decided to go into all of that? It is because something is stale and you have begun to steal methods. Steal methodologies. Steal people's procedures. Stale anointing. Stale grace. Stale oil. I pray for you that your hair will not always lack oil. I repeat, what you handle with your hand is determined by what has fallen on your head. Now, the Bible says this. From this point tonight, this moment. That's what the Bible says. First, it talks about what? About righteousness. Let us go back to that verse. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. The first thing mentioned, now let me ask you, the head and the entire body, the rest of the body rather, which one is at the top? It is the head. But you know, the garment is the first thing. So it is you are never entitled to constancy in oil without constancy in purity. Did you hear me? It is your constancy in purity that guarantees your constancy. In what? In all. You can never remain fresh if you don't remain pure. Your freshness is a function of your purity. You are permitted to be fresh only if you are pure, if you remain pure. You are permitted to remain in the flow if you are consistently following righteousness. Bible says, follow after. Understand? Therefore, a man in pursuit of the oil, a man in pursuit of anointing without being in pursuit of righteousness is a pursuer in error. You can never be pursuing anointing and drop the matter of righteousness and be successful. Highest you can see is fake oil, fake anointing. The garment before the oil. What drops upon you from above is determined by what comes upon you from within. Do you hear me? What drops upon you from above, what drops upon your head is determined by what comes upon your life. Are you pure? Your purity, your white garment is what determines the oil that comes upon your head. May God help us in Jesus' name. This moment, what are you looking for, child of God? What is your desire, O child of God? You are asking God, Lord, I need your grace, I need your anointing, I need this and that. Yes, good of you, good desire. But let me ask you, are you asking with what? With a pure garment. Anointing only rests where righteousness rests. Anointing rests when righteousness reigns. Of course, the reign of anointing is heavy on where the reign of righteousness have fallen. In other words, let me put it this way. The reign of anointing can only fall upon where the reign of righteousness has fallen and righteousness is reigning. May God help us in Jesus' name. Are you there? Are you asking more for God for more of His grace, more of anointing, more of this? No problem. But the question is this: where is your place in terms of righteousness? Where is your place? You remain fresh in Jesus' name. You remain fresh in Jesus' name. Grace will locate you, anointing will locate you. And I pray that the righteousness of God will not be lacking in your life. Let us pray.
We thank you for this moment, Lord. We have heard about the need to keep our garments white and also to keep our oil flowing, running fresh on our heads. Our prayer today is that, Lord, you will help us to maintain that lifestyle so that our destinies, the fulfillment of what you have ordained of our lives, will not be frustrated. We bless and praise your holy name. Let your word have its place in our lives even after we have had it. Let your name be glorified. Thank you for answering our prayers. Blessed be thy holy name, Lord, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you.